Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 14th of February. Glad to have you with me. I'm Paul White. It's Valentine's Day, and I don't know what that means in your house. In my house, my wife and I, from pretty much day one, never really got into the Valentine's Day thing. We sort of felt like it was a date created for someone to have to buy something. And so we just kind of looked at it like another day we say I love you and show one another. And hopefully it's not the only day of the year you do that. Now, however you celebrate it, that's fine. I'm really only telling you this as a sort of a humorous aside to begin the podcast. And that is, in our house, it is well known that Valentine's Day has nothing to do with hearts and bears and balloons and kisses, and everything to do with the unofficial opening of spring training baseball. So very excited in my house when Valentine's Day hits the calendar, because that means pitchers and catchers are reporting to spring training and we're going to have baseball on the horizon. Forgive me my little indulgence there, if you would. I hope you understand. Okay, let's jump into the text. The last 5 days we spent some time with some question and answers from our trip to Albuquerque. And a couple of those I know were a little short. I probably should have taken 2 of those days and put them into 1, because they actually resulted in some rather short podcasts. And I apologize for those who've grown accustomed to a little bit longer podcasts. Kind of build your morning around it or your drive or whatever. So I try not to do that. I think one of them was actually under 4 minutes, and I try to always be at least 5 or 6. So I'll try to fix that in the future, because we are going to do another round of those in a few days. And so we'll try to make sure they're a little longer. But before that, I want to jump back into our verse by verse. We have been working through the book of Zechariah since the top of the year, right at the top of the year. And we took some time off for those Q&As, but now we enter the 7th chapter. I felt like there was a good place to break when we did our break. It's not exactly halfway through, because Zechariah is 14 chapters, but when you study the book of Zechariah and you look at it through a scholarly lens of when was this written, or what, not just when, but what, how does this book framed, how's it made up? You'll find pretty much a universal opinion that we are at the split in the book of Zechariah, so much so that some scholars question whether the last half of the book was actually written by the same person that wrote the first half of the book. I don't really want to get into that argument. Zechariah is mentioned in both halves. That doesn't necessarily mean he would have had to have been the author, as you understand, but there is a distinct difference in the way the 7th chapter through the end of the book lays out versus the first 6 chapters. The first 6 chapters were primarily full of visions that God was giving Zechariah in regards to the land of Israel and the people as they have come back from, or have come back and are still in the process of returning from Babylonian captivity. And then you're going to get into some more, or one of the first references to events outside of Zechariah. You get introduced to King Darius, and King Darius, of course, is a character we get from the book of Daniel. And so you start to get a little bleed over in some of these other books in this passage in Zechariah 7. I want to cover today the first half of the chapter, and then tomorrow the last half of the chapter, because it sort of splits itself up perfectly at verse 7 of a 14-verse chapter. Now, in the 4th year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the 4th day of the 9th month, Chislev. This is it's a Chaldean reference, but it's also a timing reference based upon when the first half of the book was set versus the second half of the book. We probably are dealing with about a 2-year difference here, this marked by a date from the first half of the book to the second half of the book. And understanding, this is an aside, but not really. A lot of prophecy in the Old Testament was commonly delivered in two manners chronologically. It was delivered first orally, and then it was written down sometimes many years later, such as Jeremiah. This happens quite often in the book of Jeremiah. Let me give you an example. Why not, right? Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 2, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words I've spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. That's a common practice. So God had been speaking to him for years. He had been preaching and teaching what God spoke to him. And then he takes a scroll and writes what we know as the book of Jeremiah. And so it's not all happening in real time, although there would be some things then from that point on that are happening in closer to what might be considered real time. But some of it's just merely a review of things they had heard before. This is probably what has happened in Zechariah. Perhaps the first six chapters, what we would call the first six chapters, were delivered orally, and now he begins to write things down. Verse 2, when the people sent Sherezer with Regem-Melech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done so for many years? This was a practice they had made to fast during the fifth and the seventh months of the year. By the way, there was only one sanctioned fast day on the Jewish calendar, and that was the Day of Atonement. Any other fast days were made by the priests or the rabbis. And so to fast the entire fifth month or the entire seventh month would have been a practice picked up during captivity by a group of Israelites who wanted, by fasting, for God to hear their voice and bring them back. How does this work out for them? Verse 4, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? I like that New King James reference there. Did you really fast for me? For me? He says it twice, as if, do you really think you were doing this because I wanted it? Was this fasting on my behalf? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Or I like how the Christian Homeland Standard says it, did you really eat and drink simply for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous and the south and the lowland were inhabited? I think God asks an amazing question. That's probably the understatement of a lifetime. If God asks, it's probably amazing. But I find it pretty fascinating that this is a question you could still ask today. God says, when you were doing all that fasting, do you really think you were fasting for me? When you eat and drink, don't you do it for yourself? In other words, you don't eat and drink for me. Why would you not eat and drink and call that being done for me? I think people need to evaluate this in fasting now, particularly under the new covenant when everything comes through Christ. Who are you doing this for, you or me? So when people say to me, what, do you think there's any benefit to fasting? My answer is not to God, there's not. There may be a benefit to you physically. Maybe you need to purge something out of your body, or maybe you're overeating, or maybe you're making yourself sick and you need to determine what foods need removed from your diet. Maybe you have some sort of autoimmune deficiency and you need to eliminate. And the only way to do that is to start at square one and fast. But if you're asking me, do I believe you get favor or anointing or blessing from God? No, and God didn't think so either. He says in that Old Testament, when you do this, do you really think it's for me? For me? Consider that. Think about it. Tomorrow we work the last half of chapter 7. I'll see you then. God bless.